Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in to the PHNX Suns podcast, brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
I'm a giant!
Number one sportsbook
Look
app.
Look at so how big I am like compared button. To Lindsay.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcast and leave us a five-star review.
Look at my big ass head is as big as your body.
Is this
what
better?
In the Jesus hell? Oh my goodness.
Welcome in, everybody.
Hakeem Olajuwon in the house.
Just lean back. You'll look smaller.
Moses Madome over here.
Look, now we're the same size.
We're really not.
Wait, but you're not anyways. You're taller than her. She's 5'1".
Congratulations, Captain Obvious. I know that. The camera angles would say that I'm 18,000 times bigger than her.
Not the two shot. Not the two shot.
So how's everyone doing today?
I'm okay, Saul. How are you doing?
I'm never listening to Lindsay again. You know what? I'm going to calm myself down with a nice little thing of OGs now. Let's fucking get it.
I love it. It's always... The beginning rarely makes sense to the audio listeners
because
we're referring to something completely visual. So yes. Saul looks really big in one of our camera shots.
I look like a fucking giant. I look like I just came down from a beanstalk.
Did you bring any magic with you? No?
Any magic beans?
No.
Yes.
They are the magic beans.
Some magic beans right here.
Oh, jeez. Hey. I believe it's called piña colada.
That's mine.
Oh.
Yeah.
So
you didn't order a beer, Gerald.
I was going to take it.
We just got a delivery of beer here because we are at the Four Peaks Brewery hanging out with everyone down here, having some tasty beverages, some tasty food. If you were not able to join us today, that's okay. We'll be here every last Wednesday of the month. So plan for next month to come on and hang out with us. Also, if you are watching this live, you have like 40 minutes to enter into our Toast of the Month sweepstakes over at gophnx.com if you have not already. And if you win that sweepstakes, you're going to get a $50 gift card to Four Peaks Brewery. You're going to get a t-shirt of your choice from our locker and an annual membership to gophnx.com. So do that ASAP. Also, we ask that you enjoy Four Peaks responsibly, and a reminder that you have to be 21 or older to enjoy the beer.
Can I start out? Shout out to our man, Charles Woodall Pike, who's been out here all day, and comments, 0 seconds in and we're already off the rails. Isn't that always the case?
Yes.
A cool thing I found out about Charles Woodall Pike today, he and I came from the same small podunk town here in Arizona. I just learned that today. Cordis Junction, shout out.
Really?
Cordis Junction?
Yeah.
I haven't even heard of that.
I know. It's like a town of like 200 people.
You know, it's bad when Lindsay's passing judgment on where you're from.
I know. This is true.
I think I'm allowed to. Anyway, recap on yesterday's show. If you missed it, you should definitely go watch it. It was quite enjoyable. But we're all still friends. Chelsea left for now.
For now.
She'll make a guest appearance from time to time.
Don't worry. Gerald and I realized after yesterday's show that we were on the same page. We were just too busy arguing with one another to realize that. I loved it.
Espo and I literally sat there and after the show was like, you know what? That was really refreshing. It wasn't you and I that were going at each other. It was these two. And we just sat back. And if you go back and watch the show, you'll see that I'm just sitting back and just kind of watching. Like,
chilling.
This is finally fantastic.
Finally, we didn't have to do the heavy lifting.
I know. It was about time.
It was nice.
Almost a year in, that's the first time Lindsay and I have ever fought. And, of course, it was because we were on the same page and just not communicating. So remember, people, communication is key to effective relationships.
It is. And making sure you're communicating in ways that the other one can actually understand. That's how you got to do it. But we did have some gens come from yesterday's show.
We might not be friends after we showed
We might not.
Oh, no. What did
but Josh Hunt in the chat said, we got the greatest Gerald face of all time from yesterday's show. And we absolutely did.
Do we describe this as bitter beer face?
It's girth blue steel.
Steel. Oh, there we go. It's Girth a Zoolander for those of you listening.
Thanks to Derek, we got a Photoshop of that Gerald face on the Zoolander face.
There's multiple celebrities here today. Did you realize that? The multiple celebrity. We have Ben Stiller, a.k.a. Gerald Bourget. And then behind the Mac, we have actually George Michael, who's about to go to a Sun Devil show. So so Shane, make sure you wake me up before you go.
You got to have faith that he'll be able to produce the show well.
Oh, he covered his hair.
He's going to carelessly whisper into the microphone from now on.
He covered his hair now.
If you guys are listening to this on audio, highly recommend you head on over to our Twitter page. You can see Gerald's face. You can see Shane's outfit from today because he lost a bet. Oh, there we go. Now he's on screen.
There he is.
Lord Diefenbach.
Good times are always had here at PHNX.
He is the knife that says knee.
But now that we've done all the housekeeping, let's get into some Suns news and Kevin Durant updates at that. So the Miami Herald posted an article about the KD situation involving Miami, and this quote from the article kind of sums up the main points. They said, while the Miami Heat remains interested in Kevin Durant, the Brooklyn Nets have displayed little interest in the Heat's offer for the high-scoring superstar, and Miami is moving ahead with its current roster for next season, according to sources briefed on the situation. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that Miami is 100% out. They're probably still monitoring the situation, but they also did share in the article that they're not really interested in offering up Bam Adebayo.
Plus, that's complicated. It's got to be a three-team deal, or they got to move Ben Simmons. Them being the Nets have to move Ben Simmons before they could even take on Bam Adebayo. I still think that if Miami's in on anybody, they're in on Mitchell rather than KD, but we'll see. Look, one down, 28 others to go still in this? Like, and I don't believe ever that Pat Riley's out of anything. If he's still interested, there's still a way he could attempt to figure it out. But as of right now, like I think most of the league, they're saying, Nets, we're not going to meet these crazy demands. We have no interest in trying to do that. You know, we'll sit back and let you stew in your own juices there. So.
Basically, what it's coming down to is the haves and the have-nots. And nobody has anything that the Nets want. So what's going to happen is KD is going to be the ultimate dictator of what's going to happen next year. And if everything holds true, the Suns will be the last man standing. Because the Suns aren't giving into this. They're not going to sit there and just throw the whole show at you. And so they're just going to sit back and wait until KD makes that ultimate demand. And then the Nets will be in the position to figure out what they need to do from here. And that's basically what we've kind of felt like this whole time. It's like we need that other shoe to drop. Yeah. And until that happens, nothing's going to happen. Until Kevin Durant says, I'm not reporting to training camp. F you guys and F every other team in the NBA outside of the Phoenix Suns, nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. For me, this is notable. Because, like, yes, obviously the Heat could circle back, but as we've talked about, as we're getting closer to training camp, the Nets are holding out. They're waiting to see who's serious and who's not, who's going to be all in on this potential Kevin Durant trade. That eliminates one of the potential contenders. And yes, it would have been difficult for them to work out a deal, but you can never count out Pat Riley and that type of thing. So it is good that they're already kind of setting their sights on next season. That eliminates one contender.
Look, for me, it's simple. This is kind of the way I knew my wife in high school, right? And I was interested for 11 years, but it wasn't reciprocated. So I moved on to other opportunities and circled back when it made sense to get involved. And I think that's exactly what the Nets are doing here. So.
God.
Okay.
So I got the ring in the end, so I win.
You did right. Listen, like, you definitely upgraded. I'm telling you that right now.
Oh, I outkicked my coverage. Oh, no doubt
about
that. 100%. By the way, those of you asking, yes, this is a beer milkshake from our friends at Four Peaks. It's an oat stout in a milkshake, and it's pretty damn good.
It's absolutely delicious.
It's great.
So you kind of bring up the idea that until KD does something extreme, and the whole chat is bringing this up as well, KD needs to go nuclear. KD, when he refuses to play, the Brooklyn Nets are going to have pie on their face. And Iverson said, Jake Fisher article yesterday said, KD has his heart set on Phoenix. He just needs to do something crazy. And we've talked about this a lot, but like realistically, what are the odds that you think KD actually does that? Because so many times throughout his career, he's been applauded for his work ethic, for putting his head down through tough situations as well, and being the ultimate professional. So at least behind the scenes, right? Like when it comes to basketball, what do you think the odds are?
KD wants to play ball. And if he really feels like Brooklyn is not a situation where he wants to waste the next year or two, then he's going to do it. He's going to come out at some point and say, I want to go to Phoenix. He'll probably do that sometime in August, a couple weeks ahead of training camp, because he doesn't want to put himself in at risk of not only hurting himself, because he wants to get acclimated to his new team, but also putting the Nets in a bad position. Because, listen, even as a professional, and as much as you might hate your environment, you still want to do right by that organization just because they didn't really treat you wrong. Mm-hmm. It was just the external factors of the people that they brought in completely boggled this whole situation, right? KD went there with good intentions thinking that, okay, I'm going to team up with two superstars and we're going to win a ring.
Two?
And Harden and Kyrie.
Oh, I thought you were
Kyrie.
Counting DeAndre Jordan because that's who was there originally with him.
Oh, no.
In Brooklyn.
Okay. Two actual superstars in Harden and Kyrie, and it didn't work out because of those two wanting to go separate ways for whatever the reasons are. That's not KD's fault. So KD has no reason to really vilify the Nets in this situation, but at the same time, he still deserves to get what he wants because his initial reason for going to the Nets was a championship, and the Nets right now are not in a position to win a championship.
I say September 15th because that's about a week and a half before media day. It's the point where it's pretty clear that the Nets aren't going to move you like you've requested. At that point, are they really trying that hard, even though they're claiming they are? I think that's when we see it. Middle of September is when KD goes, enough is enough. I'm not going to play for you. I'm only going here.
The hard part is that KD is a baller. Like, he loves to ball. Mm-hmm. So if you get to that point, and you're kind of staring at that other car in the middle of the road playing chicken, who's going to give in first? Because I know for a fact KD doesn't want to sacrifice time because he's already sacrificed time by way of injury with the Achilles and all this other stuff. I don't know how far that's going to go for him. That's the only variable out there that I'm like, okay, if Brooklyn really stands fast, is this going to happen?
Then does he really want to be in Phoenix at that point? Because if you're not willing to risk something to get what you want, then you really don't want it that much. It's like if you don't really want to leave a job, but you got an offer from somewhere else and you use it to try to get more money, you have to be prepared that place says to you, I'm not giving you that money, and you have to take that job. That's the risk you have to take.
True.
And Kevin Durant needs to accept that there will be some risk if he wants to get himself to Phoenix or wherever his preferred destination is. It's not Phoenix, if he decides it's Toronto, it's Boston, wherever. We hear it's Phoenix, but if he decides there's somewhere else, he's going to have to be willing to risk some time not playing if he's going to do it.
I would say he has risked a little bit by just asking for the trade in general puts him in a villain type of role for some people.
Yeah, but you're always going to be in that role if somebody doesn't like what you're doing.
I don't know. That's a lot of millions to risk, though. Like, it's one thing to like risk like talking about our job or like people in our tax bracket.
I have a lot on the line there, Gerald. I'll have you know that.
No. I think you're wrong. I think it's actually easier when you have all those millions. It's not his first deal. He's got plenty in the bank. The average person that's risking everything because they're making $50,000 and they want to get to $75,000 because it's going to change their life dramatically, that's the person that's risking.
I don't like the kid, but he's got a point.
4 years.
Risking shit. It's not just this year. It's like 4 years.
Yeah, and you know the Nets are going to blink after 2 weeks. They're not going to make him sit for 4 years because they're not going to get anything out of that either.
The thing I will say about Gerald, though, his point is that, listen, he's got 4 years left on this deal. He's 34 years old. He's not getting any younger.
Right.
We could argue
this
that he's also
his last one.
Yeah, this might be the last good shot that he has to win a title. So do you want to risk that? And if you're the Nets, do you want to sacrifice KD just to prove a point? I don't know if you really want to do that, because then in the future, you're running yourself at risk of not getting any other superstars because they see how you did KD.
And that's the fluidity of this situation, this whole game of chicken between KD and the Nets aspect is why it's good that the Heat reportedly are prepared to go into this season not targeting Kevin Durant, because this stuff can change. If Kevin Durant does hold out, maybe the Heat come back. But, like, the Heat were the other mentioned preferred trade destination. So if he's holding out, it's because he wants to go somewhere specifically. So if the Heat, one of the pretty much the only competitor that we've heard as far as where Kevin Durant wants to go, are out on him, that's good for the Suns, because then it just becomes a singular narrow focus, like we've been talking about, and like we assume is the case. But with Miami, whenever Miami is mentioned, you can't count them out until it's done. So it's good to hear that going into the next season, they're not willing to trade Bam Adebayo, because, sorry to tell you, you're not getting it done with Tyler Hero. They can't offer the full package of 4 picks and 3 pick swaps.
Did you just Lenny Kravitz us?
What?
It ain't over until it's over?
What do you mean?
It ain't over until it's over.
Please don't sing.
I'm just saying.
Shane
like,
likes it.
There you go, Shane.
Can you explain this to me, though? Why would the Nets want Bam Adebayo if they didn't want DeAndre Ayton?
I would argue that Bam is a more
consistent player.
Consistent player, a better defender, not a better offensive player, obviously.
Higher ceiling with DA, I'd argue.
I would argue that as well, but I do think, I mean, there's something to be said of a big who is a modern big, can switch out on the perimeter more than DA, and he was a defensive player of the year. You know, like, he would have been in the running seriously if he hadn't missed so many games.
They're not interested in that, though, because Mikal Bridges isn't enough, and he finished second in defensive player of the year voting.
Yeah, but they also watched the Mavericks series and was like, eh.
Then you wouldn't want anybody on the Suns roster if that's the case.
This is true. This is true.
I don't know about the DA versus Bam thing, but I do know if the Heat are not offering Bam, you look at what else the Heat have to offer. They don't have as many picks, and their package is headlined by Tyler Hero. That's nowhere near as good as one highlighted by Mikal, Cam, and more picks that you can offer.
It comes down to the draft picks and expiring contracts.
Yeah,
the Nets have a lot more flexibility with the Suns deal, and they could get two very good pieces in Mikal and Cam. Yeah. There, people forget, second place in defensive player of the year, second place in sixth man of the year last year. We're not talking about two end of the bench, end of rotation guys. We're talking about two very, very good individuals in Cam and Mikal that could potentially be part of that team.
Well, we shall see. How many times have I said that?
We do
every show.
Probably a million.
We shall see.
We do have some news that happened. Obviously, we had heard this reported last week, but the multi-year extension with Monty Williams just became official when we started the show.
Okay.
So congrats to Monty. Good for the Suns getting that.
Snaps all around, baby. Snaps all around.
No, it just says multi-year contract extension. I'll try and reach out and see if I can get a number on that. But the quote is, this is a get-to, not a got-to. It is a blessing to be head coach of the Phoenix Suns.
Hey-o.
That's from Monty in the release.
I
would have put $1,000 down on the word blessing being in Monty's quote when he got his new contract.
I totally would have done that as well. Thankfully, we didn't, though, because we would have lost. But thanks to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, you could get that bet back right now if you sign up using the promo code PHNX. Because after you use that promo code and you make your first deposit, you're going to get a risk-free bet up to $1,000.
Risk-free.
That is promo code PHNX only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
It's so much more fun to do that when everybody's wearing headphones.
Because it like forces us to really hear it. Saul's going to go ballistic on you.
I like, just want to punch him in the throat right now.
Look, also, guys, 123. We're back to normal. It's Espo and Saul fighting.
No, we haven't bickered back and forth
yet. Well, you're about to punch him in the throat, so.
It's all right. That's physical contact is way better than verbal.
That's usual. Well, better than well said is what you're trying to.
Yeah, you heal faster physically. Emotionally, that fucks you up for a while.
I mean, we'll see. You're not wrong, but I feel like there are emotional, whatever, we're not going to get into
it. You guys got emotional yesterday. Fighting about the same thing.
Would you two like to argue about something you agree?
It was the ultimate Gerald and Lindsay argument. Like, we are on the same page and fuck you. Like, what is going on? Huh? I was so confused as to what was going on yesterday. I was like, what are we really even arguing about right now? But I sat back and enjoyed it because it never happens.
Chelsea was fantastic.
It was one of the greatest days in PHNX Suns history.
Yes.
Connor thinks Chelsea sucks, so I don't know.
Connor, you watch that language. We love Chelsea around here.
Hey, Chelsea's dope.
All right, guys.
Lindsay.
You ready for some screenshots?
Yeah, let's
do it. Presented by Arizona Department of Health Services. COVID-19 vaccines are free for everyone 5 and older. Those 12 and older are also now eligible for a booster. Visit azhealth.gov/findvaccine for a location near you. Our first AZ Health screenshot is of Mikael Bridges. Out here in Tempe, living his best life at a karaoke night at the Vine.
Turn me up. Let's go.
I love that he's like standing on a table here. He grabs the rafters. Like, Mikhail's like, to hell with worrying about getting hurt or anything. I'm gonna have a good old time out here. That or Mikhail is just much taller than I thought.
So tell me if I'm wrong, but in Twitter, or on Twitter, I should say, in Twitter.
Yes,
I was told that the Vine was closing down.
Yes.
Is that the reason why he was there?
He must have just been getting in his final celebration.
Because I literally, over the weekend, I sat there and I heard that, and I was like, oh, man, I should go, because it was right across the street from the house I grew up in.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't go. Now I really regret it, because Mikhail was there.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was the reason maybe why he went.
Probably.
It's a good possibility that he's heard through people here in Phoenix that, like, hey, this is one of the coolest places. You've got to check it out before it disappears.
Probably.
Why is the Vine going up?
Because you can come over here to Four Peaks, and you can hang out. It's just a better place to be.
Oh, God.
Okay, kiss ass. All right.
Hey, the
Can
audio's
we pull
going
the nose out
here.
Out of the Four Peaks butthole right
gotta,
now, please.
I gotta make sure that we're being broadcast.
We're drinking the beverages.
Here.
We got the fucking brand on table.
Hey.
We don't need to go the extra mile so much.
Yes,
okay?
We do.
We're already in there.
Vine, one of the originals. We're gonna miss you. Really loved you growing up. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's a super bummer, but I'm glad that we at least got this video of Mikhail from the Vine one last time. My favorite part of this video is that the girl who's actually singing the karaoke is going so hard, and Mikhail is matching her energy 100%. He was like, yes, queen, sing the hell out of that song. I got your back.
So you know what this means, right? Mm. You know what we have to have at the PHNX bar, right?
Karaoke?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
Mikhailioke.
Karaoke, turn me up.
How about some Mikhailioke?
Mikhailioke, yes. I love it.
All right.
Love it.
God,
let's go.
I love how I just rolled my eyes so hard at that, and you were so excited about that.
Let's go.
By the way, since our producer is a member of the ASU show, we're allowed to steal stuff from their show.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to know, like, what's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, shit.
Karaoke, because I'm not very good at singing, but if I had to karaoke, I would probably sing one of the songs that I know in Spanish, because I think most people would be shocked about me being able to sing a song in Spanish more than they would be paying attention to my actual singing voice.
Fair.
That's true. That's
so it's like a strategy of like distraction.
I sang two songs once upon a time.
Uh-huh.
I sang Humpty Hump because my nose is large.
Do the Humpty Hump.
That's it. And then
he just talks through
that. But the one that I actually kill is September by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh,
for whatever reason, every time I sing it in public, people really, really like it. So,
I'm Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon.
Okay.
That sounds
classic.
Sinatra's an easy one for me because it's very rhythmic.
You can just talk through it, yeah.
Yeah, so I can hit that.
I'm more of a Lose Yourself Eminem type of guy.
That's kind of aggressive.
Okay.
We're having a karaoke night in the new
karaoke's
office.
Karaoke's going to have to happen.
Shane's just shaking his head
at
me.
Yes, let's go.
I kind of like, because we posted this question on our PHNX_sports Twitter page yesterday, and I was reading the replies from a lot of people here at PHNX, and I was like, some of you guys are either very ambitious or you can sing way better than I had ever thought you could sing, and I need to hear what this sounds like.
Jay in the chat said Colt 45.
Oh,
and I'm a big fan of that one.
There we go.
And two zigzags, baby. That's all we need. Let's go.
You know what? I heard half the office sing Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson yesterday.
That's a good karaoke.
Nobody sang it well. But everybody was singing it.
That's
That's
not what that means.
Shane is literally screaming at us right now.
That's a good one because other people will join in and drown you out, so they won't even notice your voice.
Exactly. That's a positive one as well. I don't know. I kind of feel like we have to make this happen now, mostly because I think it could be really, really fun.
PHNX open mic night. Let's go.
Oh, there we go.
Let's do it.
Friday fun day. Karaoke roulette. We let the fans pick what the four of us have to sing.
The only problem with that is we have copyright rules that we have to follow on YouTube.
Not with our singing.
And
nobody's
so
going to be able to tell.
You have to have the music go along with it.
You have the music. That's the whole
idea. You can't
just
sing an ad-lib. That's even worse.
No.
See, Espo doesn't think about these things before he spouts them from his...
I'm okay with us getting a copyright infringement on one video so we can have some fun.
I am not.
Yeah.
As the GM of this company, there's no way we're paying that fine.
Yeah. Not my problem.
Brandon Spano, I hope you have $100,000.
Oh, no.
All right. Our next AZ House screenshot. This one kind of turns the corner to a little bit more serious conversation. There was an interview that Mark J. Spears had with Morgan Cato. Of course, she is one of the newest members of the Phoenix Suns front office. And one of the nuggets of that article that kind of stood out the most to people on the internet is what she had to say in response to kind of the Robert Sarver situation and what that relationship looks like or how involved or whatever. And she said she has not met with Sarver. He has not been part of the discussion or these decisions. From what she understands, James Jones runs his house. So from an oversight, he's there, but James and Monty, they handle basketball. Sarver is not in the day-to-day operations, and I believe, from what I understand so far, he lets them do their work.
She also mentioned she's only been here one day, and she starts August 13th. So I'm going to put on a tinfoil hat here.
Okay.
If you guys want to follow me down this road. Because if you read the article,
strap on.
It talks about how she has experience in HR, how she's about talent development, how she spent time in the league and understands the inner workings of building great functioning teams in terms of people working together, not on the court. I think she is there in part because of the league, and I think she may know something more than we know. And August 13th is interesting that she's starting then, more than 6 weeks after we heard the announcement that she was starting. I don't know. I'm just putting some dots together. Maybe there's some kind of announcement coming that she's aware of.
I just hope that we get some resolution to this, because for the last basically 8 to 10 months, Espo has been predicting when this is going to drop, and at every single turn, it's been wrong.
To be fair, though, that is legitimate information from behind the scenes that multiple people, even not connected to the Suns, have shared. I mean, who was it? Reverend Al Sharpton? Right? Mm-hmm. He put out a release the other day that said the NBA told him it would be this time, and then that came and went, and then they said it would be this time. So it's not like this isn't stuff that we're actually hearing behind the scenes. It's just that it keeps getting pushed back and pushed back for whatever reason.
I say it in jest, obviously.
I know, but I understand that. But for everyone who's listening that is like, okay, but why isn't this coming out? We're not the only ones who have heard these things behind the scenes and also asking the same questions. Tons of people are asking these questions.
And I refuse to believe that she has no idea about what's going on around here. I think there's a reason why she's saying not about me, didn't experience it, not, you know, haven't talked to him. I think there's a distinct reason. If you work at the league, you cannot tell me you did not ask people before you accepted a job here, a place that's being investigated by the place that you work at, that you didn't ask around to understand what you were getting into.
It would be like if Gerald heard rumors of our company about to defunct or something like that, and him join us anyway, and then somebody asked him about that. He's like, oh, I don't know anything about that. Really? You didn't do any of your homework?
Yeah,
you didn't talk to anybody in circles? Come on. Like, don't BS me about that. That's the one part about this article that I did not like, was the fact that she was like, I don't know anything about it. I have no opinion on it. You can't, as in the role that she is and the people that she represents more than herself, she damn well better know what the hell she was getting into. I understand what she's doing from a PR perspective.
It's plausible deniability.
It is. I understand what she's doing from a PR perspective, but at the same time, like, bro, you can't play like dumb when it comes to something this severe and this intense, because people aren't trying to hear that.
I get it, and I also understand why you would give that type of diplomatic answer, because one of the things that bothers me about this whole situation and the lack of clarity that we have on Sarver to this point and what's going on with the investigation is that this type of hire, it detracts from the glass ceiling that's being shattered here. It detracts from her own deserving, how much he deserves this job and this opportunity, mm-hmm. and instead it shifts gears to it being a referendum on what's going on with Sarver and what's going on with the investigation. Is this, you know, kind of him making a hire to continue checking boxes to make himself look better? That's what the conversation becomes, and instead it should be, you know, who is this person? Because this is a very long Q&A that they did with her,
yes.
and it's the two shortest questions about Sarver, and those wind up being the main talking points. And not to dump all over our talking points, obviously, but, like, it's unfortunate that we're not in a place with everything that's going on where we can just focus on who is Morgan Cato, what is her backstory, what does she bring to the table for this new job, and instead it's, okay, let's parse through this response about Sarver and try and figure out what's going on.
I'd like to get to that, because I was very impressed by what you learn about her in this piece and her background and what she's been able to accomplish. I think she actually would be well suited to be the president of a basketball team and oversee both basketball and business operations, and that her background would make her fantastic in that. Having sat there, and I think I had four different team presidents in 5 years I was there, I think she would fit that role unbelievably well. I actually think she's destined for more than just this assistant general manager role. And I loved her answer about how she hadn't really thought about what it meant for her to break the ceiling till she was at a sports conference and a young black woman came up to her and said, "This means so much to me to be able to see somebody like myself in this role." And then they both started crying because she realized the gravity of it at that moment. Like, there's a lot that I like about her. I'm excited that she's part of the Suns organization. I think it is, Gerald, you're 100% right. It's a disservice to her to have this come during this time, because there's so many questions that shouldn't be asked at this point that aren't fair to her, because her merit, everything she's done, she deserves this and more in the NBA.
Again, kind of going back to that point, this is how I feel about this, is that it is hard to celebrate something like this when you have the catastrophe that has happened behind the scenes and wonder what the motives were into her getting the position. It's really hard. As a black fucking man, it's hard to sit there and be like, this better not be a fucking token hire.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that, because that has happened before, where people are trying to cover their ass and they hire people that go opposed to what they have always been against because they're trying to CYA. And so that's what I'm really hoping. And that's why I'm not, like, jumping head over heels over this hire, because I want to make sure that this is a valid hire and this is something that's going to stand the test of the time. Her credentials say it should. But the people that are running the organization tell me otherwise, and that's why I'm just pausing. I'm not trying to denigrate what she's doing or the position that she is by any stretch of the imagination. Very impressive resume. I don't know her. I have no idea. I've never heard her speak. I have none of that stuff, right? So I can't speak to the validity of she could be a superstar on the rise. I have no idea. Her credentials say so, and I'm sitting here hoping that that's what comes to fruition. But the people that are in charge, Robert Sarver mainly, they just have gone about business the wrong way, in my opinion. And it's hard for me to celebrate a win when I don't know if it's an actual win or just some way for them to save face.
I know this will come as a surprise, but I am not a black man, Saul. And look, I just don't see it like that. I take her at face value that she hasn't spoken to Sarver, that James Jones made this hire. She's very close with Monty Williams. I feel like this is them bringing her into their ecosystem that they've created within this, and that this isn't a token hire in any way. This is two guys seeing the value in what she can bring, how she can help them go from a young upstart group there to putting systems and these things in place that she's been able to do elsewhere. I think that's what this
is James
about.
Jones was ultimately the one that signed off on this and the one that initiated this, again, like, I will stand back and I'll be like, a thousand percent, I support her, support the organization, support him and what he's trying to do, support her and what she's trying to do.
Yeah.
I just hope that there's not other motives at play.
For sure. And I think it's fair to question the motives, whether those exist or not, and it's also fair to say it sucks that that is what we are doing and have to do in this situation because of all the other nasty stuff that's going on. It's just, it's an unfortunate situation. Like you said, it's unfortunate that she's coming on during this time, so the focus can't be more about learning about her and what she brings to the table, and it's more about, okay, why?
I will also say this. The one other thing that I did take from away from what she said was is that James Jones basically has been running everything, right? And that's that, I will say, too, is like, okay, that is also very impressive for somebody to come in and not even be 3 years into that GM role and be given essentially the reins. Again, if we're going to go conspiracy theory or just kind of the outside perspective, is that kind of something that's being mandated, or is that something that's being pushed or urged to do? I don't know, but James Jones is in the role that he's in right now. He's trying to do right, not only by the team, but also the optics of the organization. And so if this is true, cool. It's just hard to sit there and be like, oh yeah, for certain this is what's happening, for certain this is what's happening, because of the cloud that's been over this organization for the last decade.
Look, I don't take it as a mandate. Success makes it real easy to step back and let other people run things. When you have a rough patch, that's when it's, you know, when these other things rear their head again. So I'm not going to read too much into that quote either. And I look, hopefully we'll figure out what the heck is going on here well before the season starts. But I never thought we'd be sitting here wondering which would we find out first, the Sarver news or if KD was traded. I didn't think they'd be neck and neck heading into the season like this. So
I'm just tired of waiting on all of it.
Is there a DraftKings sportsbook?
Odds on that? You should call him and ask him if we can put some odds on that.
Yeah, stay away from that
one.
My
goodness gracious.
Hopefully we get some clarity on all of that, and hopefully in the future we get to have Morgan on the show at some point and get to talk to her about her career in the NBA and learn more about her in that way. I feel like that would be instructive for everybody because she is a newcomer, and are a lot of people that did not probably take the time to read through a very long Q&A because it was long.
It's worth it, though.
It is.
I recommend it.
Okay, I think we should switch gears and go back to the fun side of things right now. Saw how that OG is kicking in for you.
It's kicking in just fine. Apparently, I have all my thoughts are coherent right now, so that's good.
That's
good.
A positive. That's so you're positive. Saying it helps but you just formulate your thoughts well. That's what you're saying?
Typically, it doesn't kick in until I eat, and I haven't eaten all day. So I'm sure as soon as I eat a chicken tendy, that I'll be faded.
It does say hour two is when it kicks into its most effectiveness.
Oh, does it?
It does.
Okay,
right here on the back of the package.
I haven't read the back of the package, but that's good to know. If you guys want to try some OGs, we highly recommend them. They did just launch their first ever limited edition seasonal flavor, Pina Colada, which is what Saul just took.
Dose low and go slow.
Yeah, that's smart.
You shouldn't have eaten the whole bag. So.
Oh, my God.
Well, I was wondering, there's like a little like thing over here on the table. I was like, what is that? And then I realized it's the other half of your gummy.
Why'd you sell me out like that, Lindsay?
Because you were following the rules. It's dose low, go slow.
I was trying to keep the
you were
the
following the rules.
Well, to be fair, one of them's 100 milligrams.
I will say this.
Just kidding.
I have accidentally done that before with like a quarter of a cookie that was 100 milligrams. When I tell you I've been to the sunken place, that's where high I've been. I promise
you.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to touch it. Check out OGs online at OGsBrands.com and on Instagram at OGs. You can also find their products at your local dispensary, but you must be 21 years or older to purchase. All right, guys, we're going to round out the show with a little rank and file.
Yes.
We saw this really cool graphic circulating on social media of some like 90s, maybe early 2000s NBA logos. And so we're going to rank and file them.
Okay.
All right, I'll start. I'll do my 5 through 1 here. I'm going to put the Dallas Mavericks, the M with the cowboy hat, at number 5. There's something that's just entertaining about that logo to me, as much as I hate the Dallas Mavericks.
Oh, I thought that was your number 1. That's
no,
5.
No, that's
okay,
5.
I was like, really?
Atlanta Hawks, the giant hawk with the wings spread holding the basketball, is number 4 for me. That's spectacular on a jersey. To number 3, it's got to be the old school Seattle Supersonics. You got to love them. RIP Sonics. This is where I think I'm going to go with the... the Grizzlies, old school bear,
okay,
at number two, and the Suns Sunburst at number one, because I'm a homer, and you knew that was going to wind up in
Oh, man, God. The Suns Sunburst is not number one on that list.
Go to hell, son.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it, though. But I do love the basic Sunburst more.
Can I go next?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
So. All right, so I'm going to go with one that's not even on the list, even though it existed in the 90s.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Washington Bullets logo, which is number five for me, because I like that logo. I just do. Mm-hmm. And then number four for me, I'm going to go with the old school 76ers logo. I think that was pretty dope. Mm-hmm. Number three would be the Spurs. The color on the Spurs logo
amazing.
Is just...
It's absolutely just amazing.
Fantastic.
The logo in general, what the hell is it? Is it a rainbow? What
it doesn't
fit
matter
with the
what
Spurs.
It doesn't matter.
Lame.
They just called it Fiesta.
Lame.
Yeah. Number two for me, I will go with Espo, and I will say the Atlanta Hawks. It's pretty dope logo. And then number one for me is Grizzlies. It's not second to anything on this list. The Grizzlies logo is just phenomenal.
Okay.
I know. This is crazy. This
the
was
Pistons
the impetus.
The Pistons logo is shit.
No.
It is
trash. Absolutely not.
Those teal uniforms are one of the worst in the NBA. I don't know why they brought that bullshit back, but they need to end it.
Oh, no.
End it. Throw it in Lake Michigan.
That shit is for the birds.
Look, the horse is cool.
The fact that Gerald celebrated this just makes me doubt everything Gerald has ever said in his life.
They are among the best jerseys in NBA history.
Terrible.
Among
what?
The best in
what?
NBA history. 1,000%.
Vancouver Grizzlies?
No. The Detroit Pistons, the teal ones with the flaming horse.
Yes.
Among the best.
No. They're all not right. even in the top 25 best
That's
uniforms
insanity.
In NBA history.
That's insanity. You guys are going to make me do the
so
Zoolander
angry.
Face again. I cannot
also,
believe it.
The Sonics logo is cool, but I like the Sonics logo before the Sonics
let
logo.
Let me say this. Raptors should have probably been there instead of Sonics for me.
Yeah,
like
I'm surprised
like
that's
the
off the list.
Like the
all right, I'm going to go with Hawks at number five. The Hawks, that's a really good logo.
My son is in the chat talking about Dad has some strong feelings about that.
Shocking. I'm just upset about the Pistons thing, first of all. Number four, I'm going to go with the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are in there at number four. Number three... I'm probably going to go Suns. I got to get the Suns in there somewhere.
Oh, three.
The
Come
Grizzlies
on.
At four?
Yeah, Grizzlies at four.
Oh, my God.
It's a good logo. Their team sucked. Like, I don't know what you want me to do.
What
like,
are the, it, that what matters. Are the two
did
that are better than the
did
Suns?
Did team success
that are
actually have a factor
better
in
than
this?
The Suns? Not necessarily. Number two, Pistons. And number one, Raptors. Raptors logo is flawless. It's a dinosaur dribbling a basketball.
Flawless.
It's incredible.
Flawless.
It's incredible. Yes.
It looks like Barney.
Flawless. I love it.
From the 90s.
Flawless.
Barney.
If you want to talk
flawless.
It's motherfucking Barney.
Okay.
I love it.
If you want to talk flawless, it's the Suns because they still use the burst and those uniforms with the burst.
Oh, dude, that Suns logo is trash.
It's not trash, but it's not.
It's
not number
elite.
One. It's not number
How
elite.
How are you on a Sun show and you think
dude,
that
logo
trash.
Is so
you
butt?
Can still
no.
Love something
no.
And
Get out.
At
no.
the same time.
I will good. Say the Jazz almost cracked my top five, but they're the Jazz, so I left them off because the Mountain logo is pretty cool. It's a pretty cool logo.
All right, Lindsay. How about you?
I don't know what I want for five because outside of my top four, I'm just like, eh.
What's your top
okay,
four?
Give us
but
your top four.
I'll put Chicago Bulls at five. And then I'm going to do, you guys are going to be mad at me. I'm going to do Suns at four.
I'm not going to be mad.
I'm going to do Grizzlies at three.
I didn't even have the Suns in my top five.
Two, Raptors one.
Raptors one.
I love that logo.
It's a dope
it's
logo.
So fun.
The Grizzlies is so much better. Like the uniform and the logo itself is so much better than the Raptors.
Than the rap.
But
I don't
a lot
know.
Of, a lot of the throwback
Dude, the,
stuff
the
that
uniform
you see
goes
now,
up.
The
Yeah, the uniform
are
is great,
dope.
But we were just talking logos here. If we're talking uniforms, Pistons would have been number one, and Suns
oh
would have been
God.
Number two.
Get me off the show.
And the
print, right
pinstripe
now.
Magic would have been number
oh
three because the pinstripes were dope.
All I know is that I absolutely love the Raptors and I love the Spurs with mm-hmm. these two.
I love
logos.
The Spurs
I
colors.
Do,
I just don't
I really,
understand the
really,
logo.
I really, 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 really like the Grizzlies as well. That's like
yeah, I like the Grizzlies.
Right
one.
Below.
Can we all agree the Wizards logo on this?
Also, like this is an incomplete list, by the way, because there was other logos for yes. these teams in the 90s as well.
Yeah, but this was just the easiest.
I know,
to go
but
off
the 76ers had the old school logo, which I like better than the newer
I agree.
Logo.
Yeah.
So this is a little of an incomplete kind of project.
It also doesn't include their Ben Franklin dribbling one.
And the Nets is also different, too, which I like the older Nets than the 90s Nets, like mid to late.
Oh, before then, like
everybody
Jersey.
Changed their logo like mid-90s.
Yeah.
And the ones that were pre-mid-90s were way better than the late 90s.
So you know what I think this exercise taught us right now?
OGs doesn't do shit to me during a show?
Nope. This is a topic that we need to discuss on our new show, Southwest Bias.
Hey, let's go.
No, it was for me.
It was for her and then you.
No, it was for me first.
You just Lindsay, stole my high five,
Chelsea,
or did I not get a high
Chelsea,
five?
Chelsea, here you go.
I don't think I wanted anymore.
I think they were going to bypass you, Linz. I think that's what was happening.
We definitely
Thank
were going to bypass
Shane.
Linz. Because
Shane
Espo and I are on the first show.
High five.
Tomorrow. Let's go.
Wow. Okay, anyway, back to Southwest Bias. It's our newest show here at PHNX. It is a debate show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to get spicy, and there's something on the line for every single show, right? There is a wager that happens at the top of the show. The first one comes out tomorrow. At 11 a.m. on our YouTube channel. It's the
live.
Same place you watch all of our other shows live. It's going to be Espo, it's going to be Saul, it's going to be spicy, and you should absolutely be there.
It's the only debate show in America with real consequences. It's going to be fun. Shane's going to be playing the voice of God on the program as well, and the topics will range from Arizona sports to God knows what. So tune in. We're going to have some fun with that.
Also, if you have an idea that you would like us to debate, you can always drop that in our Discord, or you can send it to us on social media, whichever platform you prefer, and we will find two people here at PHNX who are willing to go head to head about your topic. Look, so definitely do that.
Lord, help us.
Can we scroll back up? Hello said something about the Suns logo here. Hello says, Espo, the Suns logo is a basketball and a net. Not that great. What?
I mean, it's endured the image of time. I think
it's not a basketball and a net. It's a sunburst streaking with a basketball inside the sun.
I mean, I get it, but it is at the end of the day, it's a flaming basketball.
It's just a flaming basketball.
But I will say, if it was just the logo and you're not taking the uniforms out of it, like the sunburst uniform, the logo is it's not meh.
It's meh.
It's
I wouldn't put it meh. It's endured clean. The test of time. It's like the Bulls logo. Like if the Bulls logo is basically the same.
We were Miami as well.
If we weren't Suns fans, we would never pick it.
Bullshit. No, it's ranked one of the best, and everybody loves those uniforms.
I said if you were not a Suns fan, you would never pick it.
I'm saying nationally, there's a reason why Mitchell Ness sells so many of those damn jerseys.
Because of the jersey.
The jersey.
Not the logo.
Not the logo.
The logo's on the jersey.
No, it isn't.
It's the main
feature. It's not just that stupid-ass little fucking thing. That's it. It's a burst across the freaking chest.
Which is the logo.
There's more to it in a uniform than just that. It's not just a damn shirt with that logo in the middle of it.
I'm so glad we're back to our normal holding
Fuck
pattern.
You, Gerald.
And by the way, my logo could kill your number one logo on there. Extinguishing, my friend.
Historically, it probably did. But
so, see?
Also, I feel like as much as I made the smart decision to sit here, I also made the dumb decision to sit here.
How's that?
Because you're right between us?
Yeah, because when you guys are fighting, I'm just
it's like la 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 la.
That's probably how they felt yesterday.
It probably sounds even worse because I'm a giant today.
That's probably exactly. Well, if you'd like to hear more of these two yelling at each other, again, tomorrow, 11 a.m., don't miss it. Thank you guys all for tuning in. We appreciate you. As always, we will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. with another show for you. Same place, same time. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, because you can always catch them on those platforms if you're not able to join us live. Until tomorrow, I'm Lindsay. You can follow me at Lindsay Smith AZ. That's Gerald. You can follow him at Gerald Borgay. That's Saul. You can follow him at Saul_Bookman.
JollyGreenGiant.com.
And that's Espo. You can follow him at Espo. Espo, take us home.
When it comes to logos, Saul does no shit.
Either does Espo. Ahoy. Fuck off. Hey, yo, my lifestyle is retro. Tell the Phoenix Metro. Megas in control and he ain't never going to let go. PHNX, though. Lindsay, Gerald, Espo. Saul, pass the ball. We here to turn up the tempo. Got to understand me. Y'all always rep the family. Rally in the valley like Dan G. No plan B. Always on the job. My team move like the...